Once upon a time in Zaandam, which is by the Zuider Zee, there lived a wicked man named Nicholas Snijders. He was mean and hard and cruel, and loved but one thing in the world, and that was gold. And even that not for its own sake. He loved the power gold gave him, the power to tyrannize and to oppress, the power to cause suffering at his will. They said he had no soul, but there they were wrong. All men own, or, to speak more correctly, are owned by a soul, and the soul of Nicholas Snijders was an evil soul. He lived in the old windmill which still is standing on the quay, with only little Christina to wait upon him and keep house for him. Christina was an orphan whose parents had died in debt. Nicholas, to Christina's everlasting gratitude, had cleared their memory at cost but a few hundred florins in consideration that Christina should work for him without wages. Christina formed his entire household, and only one willing visitor ever darkened his door, the widow Tolast. Dame Tolast was rich and almost as great a miser as Nicholas himself. "Why should not we two marry?" Nicholas had once croaked to the widow Tolast. "Together we should be masters of all Zaandam." Dame Tolast had answered with a cackling laugh, but Nicholas was never in haste. One afternoon Nicholas Snijders sat alone at his desk in the center of the great semicircular room that took up half the ground floor of the windmill, and that served him for an office, and there came a knocking at the outer door. "Come in," cried Nicholas Snijders. He spoke in a tone quite kind for Nicholas Snijders. He felt so sure it was Jan knocking at the door, Jan Vandervoort, the young sailor, now master of his own ship, come to demand of him the hand of little Christina. In anticipation, Nicholas Snijders tasted the joy of dashing Jan's hopes to the ground, of hearing him plead, then rave, of watching the growing pallor that would overspread Jan's handsome face as Nicholas would, point by point, explain to him the consequences of defiance, how, firstly, Jan's old mother should be turned out of her home, his old father put into prison for debt, how, secondly, Jan himself should be pursued without remorse, his ship be bought over his head before he could complete the purchase. The interview would afford to Nicholas Snijders sport after his own soul. Since Jan's return the day before, he had been looking forward to it. Therefore, feeling sure it was Jan, he cried, "Come in," quite cheerily. But it was not January, it was somebody Nicholas Snijders had never set eyes on before. And neither, after that one visit, did Nicholas Snijders ever set eyes upon him again. The light was fading, and Nicholas Snijders was not the man to light candles before they were needed, so that he was never able to describe with any precision the stranger's appearance. Nicholas thought he seemed an old man, but alert in all his movements, while his eyes, the one thing about him Nicholas saw with any clearness, were curiously bright and piercing. "Who are you?" asked Nicholas Snijders, taking no pains to disguise his disappointment. "I am a peddler," answered the stranger. His voice was clear and not unmusical, with just the suspicion of roguishness behind. "Not wanting anything," answered Nicholas Snijders dryly. "Shut the door and be careful of the step." But instead the stranger took a chair and drew it nearer, and, himself in shadow, looked straight into Nicholas Snijders' face and laughed. "Are you quite sure, Nicholas Snijders? Are you quite sure there is nothing you require?" "Nothing," growled Nicholas Snijders, "except the sight of your back." The stranger bent forward, and with his long, lean hand touched Nicholas Snijders playfully upon the knee. "Wouldn't you like a soul, Nicholas Snijders?" he asked. "Think of it," continued the strange peddler, before Nicholas could recover power of speech. "For 40 years you have drunk the joy of being mean and cruel. Are you not tired of the taste, Nicholas Snijders? Wouldn't you like a change? Think of it, Nicholas Snijders, the joy of being loved, of hearing yourself blessed, instead of cursed. Wouldn't it be good fun, Nicholas Snijders, just by way of a change? If you don't like it, you can return and be yourself again." What Nicholas Snijders, recalling all things afterwards, could never understand was why he sat there, listening in patience to the stranger's talk, for, at the time, it seemed to him the jesting of a wandering fool. But something about the stranger had impressed him. "I have it with me," continued the odd peddler, and as for price, the stranger made a gesture indicating dismissal of all sort of details. "I look for my reward in watching the result of the experiment. I am something of a philosopher. I take an interest in these matters. See." The stranger dived between his legs and produced from his pack a silver